Well, thank you, Grant, for your outstanding leadership of the Office's National AIDS Policy, and thanks to all of you for being here. This is a pretty distinguished crowd, I have to say, and it is wonderful to be here. I should say, actually, welcome back, because many of you have joined us before as we've marked new milestones in our fight against HIV and AIDS, and I'm honored that you could join us in commemorating World AIDS Day, which was yesterday. And this is a time for remembering the friends and loved ones that we've lost, celebrating the extraordinary progress, thanks to some people in this room, that we've been able to make, and most importantly, recommitting ourselves to the mission that we share, which is achieving an AIDS-free generation. I especially want to welcome ministers from our partner countries, members of my administration, including Secretary Sebelius, Secretary John Kerry, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Mark Dybul from the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. And we've also got here Francis Collins from the National Institutes of Health, Michelle Sidibe from UNAIDS, Deborah Van Zinkernagel, who's carrying on the great work of Eric Goosby as our acting global AIDS coordinator, and our many friends from the philanthropic world, including Bill Gates. So thank you all for joining us here today. Every year, this is a moment to reflect on how far we've come since the early days of the AIDS epidemic. And those of you who lived through it remember all too well the fear and the stigma and how hard people with HIV had to fight to be seen or heard or to be treated with basic compassion. And you remember how little we knew about how to prevent AIDS or how to treat it. What we did know was the devastation that it inflicted, striking down vibrant men and women in the prime of their lives and spreading from city to city and country to country seemingly overnight. Today, that picture is transformed. Thanks to the courage and love of so many of you in this room and around the world, awareness has soared, research has surged. Prevention, treatment, and care are now saving millions of lives, not only in the world's richest countries, but in some of the world's poorest countries as well. And for many, with testing and access to the right treatment, the disease that was once a death sentence now comes with a good chance of a healthy and productive life. And that's an extraordinary achievement. As president, I've told you that in this fight, you'll have a partner in me. And I said that if the United States wanted to be the global leader in combating this disease, then we needed to act like it by doing our part and by leading the world to do more together. And that's what we've done in partnership with so many of you. We've created the first comprehensive national HIV/AIDS strategy rooted in a simple vision that every person should get access to life-extending care, regardless of age or gender, race or ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, or socioeconomic status. We've continued to support the Ryan White Care Act to help undeserved communities, and we lifted the entry ban so that people with HIV are no longer barred from the United States, which led to the International AIDS Conference being held here last year for the very first time in over 20 years. This summer, I issued an executive order creating the HIV Care Continuum Initiative to boost our federal efforts to prevent and treat HIV. Last month, I signed the HIV Organ Policy Equity Act to finally allow research into organ donations between people with HIV, a step achieved with bipartisan support. And thanks to the Affordable Care Act, millions of insured Americans will be able to get tested free of charge. Americans who are uninsured will now be able to have access to affordable health care coverage. And beginning in January, no American will be again denied health insurance because of their HIV status. You know, on World AIDS Day, 2 years ago, I announced an additional $35 million for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, which helped people pay for life-saving medications. At one time, the need was so great that over 9,000 people were on the wait list. We vowed to get those numbers down, and I'm proud to announce that, as of last week, we have cleared that wait list. We are down to zero, and we're going to keep working to get it back. So, we're making progress, but we're all here today because we know how much work remains to be done. Here in the United States, we need to keep focusing on investments to communities that are still being hit hardest, including gay and bisexual men, African Americans, and Latinos. We need to keep up the fight in our cities, including Washington, D.C., which in recent years has reduced diagnosed infections by nearly half. And we're going to keep pursuing scientific breakthroughs. Today, I'm pleased to announce a new initiative at the National Institutes of Health to advance research into an HIV cure. We're going to redirect $100 million into this project to develop a new generation of therapies. Because the United States should be at the forefront of new discoveries into how to put HIV into long-term remission without requiring lifelong therapies, or better yet, eliminate it completely. And of course, this fight extends far beyond our borders. And when I became president, I inherited President Bush's phenomenal program, PEPFAR, which has helped millions around the world receive life-saving treatment. And we haven't just sustained those efforts, we've expanded them, reaching and serving even more people, especially mothers and children. Earlier this year, PEPFAR reached a wonderful milestone, the 1 millionth baby born without HIV. And that alongside the rapid decline in new HIV infections and deaths from AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa. On my visit to South Africa this year, I visited a clinic run by Bishop Desmond Tutu and had the honor of spending time with some of their extraordinary young patients and counselors and outreach workers and doctors. Every day they are doing extraordinary work, and when you visit this facility, you cannot help but be inspired by what they do each and every day, in part thanks to the support of the United States of America. They're saving lives, and they're changing the way their country and the world approaches this disease. And that's work that we have to continue to advance. On World AIDS Day 2 years ago, I set new prevention and treatment targets for PEPFAR, like increasing the number of mothers we reach so that we prevent their children from becoming infected, and helping 6 million people get treatment by the end of 2013. Today, I'm proud to announce that we've not only reached our goal, we've exceeded our treatment target. So we've helped 6.7 million people receive life-saving treatment, and we're going to keep at it. Which is why, after I leave here today, I'll be proud to sign the PEPFAR Stewardship and Oversight Act to keep this program going strong. Count on the legislator to applaud legislation. Now, looking ahead, it's time for the world to come together to set new goals. Right now, we're working hard to get a permanent leader in place at PEPFAR, and once we do, one of our first items of business will be convening a meeting early next year so the United States and our partners worldwide, including governments, the Global Fund, the UN AIDS, and civil society, can sit around one table and develop joint HIV prevention and treatment goals for the countries where we and the Global Fund do business. We'll hold each other accountable, and we'll continue to work to turn the tide of this epidemic together. And that includes keeping up our support for the Global Fund. You know, its success speaks for itself. It's helping over 6 million people in over 140 countries receive antiretroviral therapy. And now it's time to replenish the fund. The United States will contribute $1 for every $2 pledged by other donors over the next 3 years, up to $5 billion total from the United States. And the United Kingdom has made a similar promise. So. So today I want to urge all those who are attending the Global Fund's replenishment meetings, both today and tomorrow, to take up this commitment. Don't leave our money on the table. It's been inspiring to see the countries most affected by this disease vastly increase their own contributions to this fight, in some cases providing more than donor countries do. And that ought to inspire all of us to give more and to do more so we can save more lives. After all, none of the progress we've made against AIDS could have been achieved by a single government or foundation or corporation working alone. It's the result of countless people, including so many of you, working together from countries large and small, philanthropies, universities, media, civil society, activists. More than anything, I think it's thanks to the courageous people living with HIV around the world who've shared their stories. You've lent your strength, demanded your dignity be recognized, and led the fight to spare others the anguish of this disease. We can't change the past or undo its wrenching pain, but what we can do and what we have to do is to chart a different future, guided by our love for those we couldn't save. That allows us to do everything we can, everything in our power, to save those that we can. And that's my commitment to you as president. The United States of America will remain the global leader in the fight against HIV and AIDS. We will stand with you every step of this journey until we reach the day that we know is possible, when all men and women can protect themselves from infection, a day when all people with HIV have access to the treatments that extend their lives, the day when there are no babies being born with HIV or AIDS, and when we achieve at long last what was once hard to imagine, and that's an AIDS-free generation. That's the world I want for my daughters. That's the world that all of us want for our families. And if we stay focused, if we keep fighting, and if we honor the memory of those that we've lost, if we summon the same courage that they displayed by insisting on whatever it takes, however long it takes, I believe we're going to win this fight. And I'm confident that we'll do so together. So thank you very much for your extraordinary efforts. Appreciate it. God bless. Thank you. Thank you. Good work.
Thank you, everybody. I am not Grant Colfax, but I'm proud to be his friend and colleague. I'm Gail Smith. The president's leadership extends all across his administration. I see across this room leaders from across our government at the top, at the middle, people who work every day to win this fight. It's my pleasure to now introduce one of them who's been a champion in this fight in two branches of government and remains a leader for us today, ladies and gentlemen, Secretary of State John Kerry.
Gail, thank you very, very much. Thanks for your tremendous leadership and your collaboration in this effort, and to all of our distinguished colleagues in the Obama administration and distinguished guests here, all of whom the president, most of whom, many of whom the president named, we're grateful to you for being here and being part of this. And I thank the president for convening this really rather remarkable group of leaders, of activists on this challenging and monumental issue. The president's commitment and his follow-through and his fundamental belief in the possibility of an AIDS-free generation and the hard work of so many of you have all combined to put that extraordinary goal within our grasp, amazing as that may seem. I want to thank my colleague, Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, for her tremendous leadership at HHS, and Raj Shah, who is our distinguished leader of AID, who's on the front lines helping to make sure that this actually gets implemented, and all of you who have been so critical to being able to bring us to where we are. I might remark that the HIV is really the work within HHS on HIV has really set the gold standard for the world, and we can be very, very proud of it. I'm also glad that Deborah von Zingernagel and Julia Martin and John Monahan from the State Department are all here. They are leading our efforts to implement the president's blueprint and writing a brand new chapter in the president's fight against AIDS. I also want to say a special thank you to Bill Gates. Bill and I are, we share a deep commitment to trying to improve the lives of others. He's giving away billions of dollars, and I'm giving shorter speeches than I used to. It's about the match. There are so many really remarkable AIDS warriors assembled here. Scientists and public servants, researchers and advocates, Republicans and Democrats, all of whom have put ideology and partisanship, party, even nation state aside, in the interest to try to embrace a much larger and more important vision, a more global vision, a universal vision. And by reaching across disciplines and across different faiths, and by reaching across the aisle and across the world simultaneously, everybody here has really helped to tap into what we like to think are the deepest values of our country, but happily are shared by so many other countries and so many other people around the world. One thing that has stood out on this issue from my point of view, I sat where Barbara Lee, she's in the House, I was in the Senate, but we were in the same endeavor. And I'll tell you, whether it was Barbara Lee and Senator Bill Frist, or whether it was Jesse Helms and myself, improbable Jesse Helms, who came to that table and helped us pass this unanimously in the United States Senate, no matter how deep the political differences were, we all managed to be able to find a way for this issue to unite us. And in our collective refusal to allow AIDS to ravage yet another generation, we showed a deeper determination to meet our global responsibilities. That's really what's happening here. This is not a small deal. Now, I want to compliment Congress, Barbara, for continuing the tradition and passing the PEPFAR Stewardship and Oversight Act, which the President just talked about looking forward to signing. When you really consider how we bridge those differences and the distance that we have traveled in this, this journey is even that much more remarkable. I can really remember back in 1991 when Bill Frist and I joined together as the chairs of the CSIS task force to study HIV/AIDS. Very little was known about it. I remember the fear back then, literally. And in politics, it was a tricky thing to talk about publicly. As recently as 10 years ago, AIDS was a death sentence for many. And experts warned that in parts of the world, we had reached a point literally of no return. But what I remember most, and what I've been privileged to be part of every step of the way, is how everybody came together to push back against that pessimism. When the leaders in this room and in entire communities, entire countries, which were ravaged by AIDS, when you looked out and saw this challenge, you didn't see someone else's crisis. You saw our shared humanity and our shared responsibility. Now, with this World AIDS Day yesterday and this convening here today and with the conference that will take place tonight and tomorrow, we are really renewing that commitment. And it's appropriate, obviously, even as we do so, to think about all those who've been lost in this battle, who were too late, where we were too late. In order to save them. And we remember a lot of friends. I can remember many members, supporters of mine and others in political life in the gay community who were going to funeral after funeral after funeral. And there was a massive pessimism within the community and a sense that this was overwhelming and that there was no way we could win this. Well, it is clear that we are now turning a very important corner, but it is not one. There is major challenge ahead, and it will require major continued commitment in order to complete the task and live up to the memory that we want to honor of all those for whom it was too late. In sub-Saharan Africa, new HIV infections are down by nearly 40% since 2001. AIDS-related mortality has declined by nearly one-third since its peak in 2005, and globally, new infections among children have been cut in half in a decade, and access to life-saving HIV treatment has increased close to 40-fold. I'm pleased to note that we have achieved much of this because President Obama was determined to set a higher standard, and he sort of glossed over it in his own comments, but that was a very significant commitment. On World AIDS Day 2 years ago, the President challenged us to reach 6 million more people with life-saving treatment, to provide 1.5 million HIV-positive pregnant women with treatment for their own health, and to prevent onward transmission to their children, and to reach 4.7 million men with voluntary medical male circumcision services for HIV prevention. These targets have pushed us to go further, to be more innovative, to forge new partnerships, including with many of you here in this room. And as a result, you all are now reaching more people than more lives are being saved than ever before. Now, to meet the challenge of PEPFAR's second decade, and Raj will emphasize this, I know, we have to transform America's role. And we need no clearer example of the transformation that we need to realize than South Africa, Rwanda, and Namibia, which all you have to do is look at the work that they're doing with the country health partnerships. These countries provide a model for how PEPFAR is transitioning from providing direct aid to delivering support for locally run and self-sustaining efforts. This is a vital transformation. And greater commitments from our partners in the Global Fund should give greater confidence to this initiative. I am extremely encouraged by the increased investments from the United Kingdom, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Canada, as well as from Germany and France. And all of them are extending their high levels of commitment, and as the President just said to you, don't leave our money on the table. If everybody steps up, we will do even more and meet this challenge. It's a great honor to host the Global Fund's fourth replacement conference in Washington this week. And as I speak to the conference this evening, it's safe to say we really are chartering a new chapter in this work. When it comes to the Global Fund, there are also lessons to learn beyond our financial leadership, to wit. The way that we have leveraged our commitments inspires greater contributions from other nations. And we have shown, I think, therein strategic leadership. I might add, I think it's fair to say that that engagement, which the President touched on, is frankly inspiring a truly global effort. And we're proud that it is doing so. As we continue to confront the global challenge of AIDS, we are literally in a position to build on a great American legacy. We are, as you all know, proudly the nation that defeated the Axis powers and then turned around and invested billions of dollars in their recovery. And that has made all the difference to a powerhouse like Germany and an ally like Japan and to Europe itself. We are the nation that faced down the Soviet Union with the force of our ideals and our alliances, and without resorting to the force of arms. Now, no exaggeration, in our own time, in this generation, in our fight against AIDS, yes, in a different way, but no less important, we are able to engage in an initiative that can help define our nation and the global spirit. If we continue to make the right choices, our work will provide for even greater possibilities. And I want you just to think about this. Today, 11 of our 15 biggest trading partners, as recently as 10, 15, 20 years ago, were receiving aid from the United States of America. And the truth is that one day, that permits us to hope that our children and our grandchildren can say the same thing about PEPFAR partners today. When 7 of the 10 fastest growing economies in the world are in sub-Sahara Africa, The opportunities are obviously enormous. And rather than view our relationship with Africa as defined by the obstacles that we face, we literally are now able to define it by the opportunities that we can seize together. So in every generation, Americans are called on to do exceptional things against seemingly insurmountable odds. We know that working to achieve an AIDS-free generation will continue to pose an incredible test. But with our continued commitment, I am certain that we can all look forward not only to passing that test, but to working with each other and providing a new definition of the character of our nation and the character of our global spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Kerry, for those comments and your ongoing leadership in tackling this epidemic worldwide. Our next speaker has given the domestic HIV/AIDS community her unwavering support. From implementation of the Affordable Care Act to implementation of the National HIV/AIDS Strategy, her department has led efforts to improve the lives of all people affected by HIV. Please welcome the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius.
Well, good afternoon. It's my great pleasure to spend some time with all of you today as we mark another World AIDS Day. And I want to start by thanking my colleague, Secretary of State John Kerry, for not only his leadership during his years in the Senate, but his continuing focus on these issues that are so meaningful to the health and prosperity of people around the world. He has done a terrific job and is a wonderful partner. And as he said, the PEPFAR effort is really a partnership effort. We are pleased to join Raj Shah and USAID under the umbrella of the State Department, certainly with the leadership now of the acting U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator, Deborah Von Zinkernagel, who is doing a terrific job, but also providing a variety of HHS assets through Dr. Frieden and the terrific work of CDC and countries around the world who are really delivering this life-saving care. So it is an amazing effort underway. We also have a number of critical health leaders here. Dr. Howard Koh and Ron Valdeseri, who are helping to lead the domestic initiative, and Dr. Deborah Parham Hobson from HRSA, who is part of that effort. We have our global health office. Certainly, I'll mention a bit about the incredible research efforts underway, and I appreciate not only Bill Gates' leadership in the philanthropic front, but appreciate his willingness to come spend a little time today with our cutting-edge scientists and researchers at NIH and accept the invitation of Dr. Collins to come and give some inspirational words to those leaders. Grant Colfax has done a spectacular job in the office under the president of coordinating this amazing effort, and it really is I think a uniquely American effort where people are not fighting over turf, but really at the table together, locking arms, trying to figure out how we go forward together. But to those of you in the room today who are here on the front lines of this effort, not only in the United States, but around the world, let me just start by saying thank you. Thank you for the work that you've been doing for decades. Thank you for the research and the painstaking effort. Thank you for the resiliency in the face of the losses that have been so appropriately described. There were a lot of times to just give up, but that hasn't happened, and the rededication is palpable. So thank you for being here and being willing to fight on. I think we're all here because we really do share President Obama's belief that an AIDS-free generation is within our reach. but we have to continue to work together to make it happen. Clearly, this president has made these issues an administration-wide priority. That's why we're all here today. And together with your help, we've shared that goal. We're decreasing the number of Americans who become affected with HIV. We're increasing access to care, improving the health for outcomes of people living with HIV, reducing HIV-related health disparity. And certainly, you've heard a lot about contributing to the global efforts to respond to AIDS. Moving forward, we need to keep in mind that dream of finding a cure and ending the epidemic. So we're here just a few days after Thanksgiving, and clearly there's a lot to be thankful for in terms of the progress that we've made together, the hope we're providing, the lives we're saving, and the advancements we've made. Cutting the waiting list in the United States for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program from 9,000 to zero in just 2 years is a big step forward. And Barbara Lee, I have to recognize your tenacious leadership. Those of you who haven't personally tangled with Barbara Lee, let me just tell you, it's a formidable advocate that leads this effort in the United States Congress on behalf of the HIV/AIDS community, and we applaud those efforts. But reducing that waiting list to zero is a huge step. Clearly, we've come a long way since 1983. When Congress first passed a bill funding AIDS research and treatment, just in 1983, there was a time not long ago, clearly, that getting an HIV diagnosis was a death sentence. But today, HIV is a manageable medical condition. And the science gives us great reason for optimism and hope. There are currently more than 30 safe and effective antiretroviral drugs and drug combinations, and researchers continue to develop new treatments. And what's more, we're making significant progress toward new medications and regimens that are longer lasting and simpler to use, with far fewer side effects. Those regimens reduce the amount of HIV in the body, which helps people living with HIV stay healthy and live longer. And we also know from the NIH-funded research that HIV transmission is drastically reduced when the amount of HIV virus in an infected person is reduced to undetectable levels. Meanwhile, a partner agency at the FDA has approved new rapid diagnostic tests that can be used in a variety of settings to identify HIV-infected individuals who might not be tested in traditional healthcare settings. Now, as we speak, NIH grantees and scientists are exploring ways to treat HIV infection by administering anti-HIV antibodies. And they've begun early stage human testing of an antibody that was effective in protecting human cells against more than 90% of the known HIV strains. Last but certainly not least, we've made significant progress since we met here last year, and understanding how antibodies respond and how they evolve together with the HIV virus in the body of an infected person. And these advances have brought us closer than ever to finally getting an effective vaccine and one big step closer to finding a cure. So the announcement that the president just made about increasing funding for research by $100 million will allow us to further the important work being led by Dr. Jack Whitescarver, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and the incredible team at NIH led by Dr. Francis Collins. So thank you all for what you're doing. Ultimately, one of the most important things we can do to combat this epidemic is to raise awareness. So as we work to advance the research, we're also supporting nationally an HIV awareness campaign and sharing research with community organizations and health departments across the country. Last week's signing by the president of the Bipartisan HOPE Act is another step in the right direction of making sure our federal policies are aligned with the most recent scientific understanding of HIV. Information about all of these efforts is available at aids.gov. So we have a lot of work to be thankful for, but we still have a lot of work to do. The challenge we face is substantial. 35 million people in the world are living with HIV/AIDS. In 2012 alone, more than 2 million new HIV infections and 1.6 million AIDS-related deaths were reported across the globe. Here in the US, more than 1 million of our neighbors and friends are infected, and millions more are affected by the loss of loved ones. So I want to share just a few brief thoughts on the national HIV/AIDS strategy, which the president launched 3 years ago. Because of this effort, with your help, we're doing more than ever to prevent HIV, to deliver high-quality care to people living with HIV, and to keep them engaged in that care and improve outcomes so they can live longer, healthier, and more productive lives. We've also been able to enhance and streamline the coordination of our own federal efforts. As a result, frontline providers can concentrate on what matters most, providing high-quality HIV prevention and care services. With your help, we'll help more of our fellow Americans through the Ryan White program in the years ahead. One of the ways that we're working to improve the quality of life of Americans living with HIV is to work with states to increase access to home and community-based care, so more people living with an HIV infection can live in their own homes, in their own neighborhoods, in their own communities. For all the progress that we've made, it's still the case that here in the United States, 1 in 6 people living with HIV is undiagnosed, 1 in 6. And only 1 in 4 people living in HIV here in the United States is able to achieve control over their own infection through medication, which is necessary for their own health and a critical strategy for preventing further transmission to partners. That's why this July, the President issued an executive order launching the HIV Care Continuum Initiative with the goal of accelerating all of our federal efforts to help people get tested, get linked to care, stay in care, and get treated for HIV. Today, the White House released a report with the first set of recommendations from the Federal Working Group. Dr. Howard Koh, my Assistant Secretary of Health, has been working in close partnership with Dr. Grant Colfax here at the White House. Dr. Koh and Dr. Colfax co-chaired the group, and I want to thank them and members of the group, including CDC, HRSA, NIH, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services, and our partners at the Department of Justice, Department of Labor, HUD, and the Veterans Administration for all of their across-government hard work. It's another example of the federal government breaking down silos and working together to implement a national HIV/AIDS strategy. And we are totally committed to implementing their recommendation. Now, as I close, I want to share with you a few of the ways that the historic Affordable Care Act is contributing to our efforts to fight this epidemic. As you may know, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends that clinicians screen for HIV infection in adolescents and adults ages 15 to 65, and that all pregnant women in the United States are screened for HIV. The new health care law makes that more possible by requiring all private health care plans to cover HIV testing and other preventive services at no out-of-pocket cost to the patient. It makes it illegal for insurance companies to deny children coverage because they have HIV. And beginning in January, no adult will be denied coverage again. The law makes it illegal for insurance companies to rescind someone's coverage when they get sick because they made a mistake on their paperwork, or to put a cap on a dollar amount of health benefits they're willing to cover for an HIV patient over their lifetime. Next year, annual dollar limits on benefits will be against the law as well. In most healthcare settings, it will finally be illegal to discriminate against someone because of their gender identity, to withhold care from someone when they need it most because of their gender expression. The new health insurance marketplace is an important tool to fight against HIV/AIDS, and we are working to make sure that site works well for the vast majority of Americans. We know that Medicaid expansion, part of the effort under the health reform law, is another critically important tool for lower-income Americans, Medicaid expansion is often the difference between life and death. So far, we have 25 states and the District of Columbia deciding to expand their Medicaid program to millions more lower-income Americans. If all 50 states take up the offer for expansion, paid for largely by the federal government, nearly 80% of the over 40 million uninsured Americans would be eligible for new coverage, either through the marketplace, with financial assistance, through Medicaid, or through CHIP. That would be a huge step forward in this country to making sure people have adequate health care. So with your help, we've made a tremendous amount of progress. We have much to be thankful for, but there's a lot more work to be done. All of you are in this room today because you refuse to give up. The fight to end this epidemic is a fight we can win. We have many reasons for hope, and many of those reasons are sitting in this room today. So again, thank you all very much. Working together, we can achieve the goal of an AIDS-free generation. Thank you.